Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about application of UAV in agriculture, and I'm mostly working on the fruits and vegetables, specialty, high-value specialty crops. So most of my examples are from fruit and vegetable production. However, the concept is the same and can be applied in row crop as well. So different applications for for UAV, as a previous speaker mentioned, this UAV can be used for a wide variety of applications, and some of them are not new. In fact, most of them are already done with, or can be done by satellite imagery or aerial imagery. One thing that UAV brings to this that makes it very valuable is the high resolution. The fact that you can do at a very high resolution, that opens up some applications that you were not be able to utilize with satellite imaging. Another interesting thing is that the timeliness, things that we can do in real time with this. So among all different applications, there are some of them that I think is low-hanging fruit. They can be applied faster than others, and I want to focus on some of those applications. Disease detection is one of those, and I'm going to talk to you why it's so important, disease detection. So I'm going to start with the case of a citrus greening disease. For those of you who are not familiar with this disease, this is a bacterial disease infecting citrus variety in Florida, and basically devastated citrus production. Fruit production in Florida, citrus production dropped to half of it was 10 years ago. And operating costs is almost double. So if this continue and the way it's going forward, probably in 4 or 5 years from now, we don't have any that industry in Florida. So it's such an important and serious disease. Of course, it started in 2005, and I'm using this as an example just to bring attention of you to that. Disease is something we didn't pay attention to it, and most of the time, we have a reactionary response to disease. So we wait till disease come, and then we start to try to do something about it. And we are not proactive in terms of preventing of it. So the disease is, as I said so far, there is no cure for it. There are some techniques that can prolong the life of fruit, and I want to talk a little bit about that as well. So this started in 2005 or 6 when I got involved with this, and back then, most of the disease, detection at early stage is critical for managing the disease. And this is also another case. So when disease first found in Florida, they used to have this human scout that go through the rows of trees to find the infected trees. And one of the issues was that those human scouts, at best, their accuracy was 60%. So 40% of the time, they were missing the disease. And as a result of that, those management staff wasn't successful, and in fact, the disease spread so much that it's now about 80 to 90% of the trees are estimated to be infected with this disease. So at the early stage, when we saw that problem, some of my work was on detecting ways to help the scouts to better detect, and that's how I got into the UAV, because back then we detecting the symptoms were easier to see from the top, and we level up different sensors and also look at different platforms, and then we find that the multi-rotor system was very efficient for disease detection. So I used the Tetracam cameras that was for ADC light and also the mini MCA. Back then, that was the only choice we had. So we tried to figure out what are the bands, and use those bands, buy the filters for this camera, and try to develop an algorithm can detect the disease. Later on, we also used modified RGB cameras, and just as a comparison, because it's a lot cheaper, these type of cameras. And in fact, we find out that for our case, it was actually pretty good. Something I want to bring to your attention is that, and Pablo also mentioned that the NDVI we calculate with this is not exactly a real NDVI, it's a pseudo NDVI, but it's very efficient and very useful for us. And anyway, in terms of multi-rotor, this is the one that we use in our application. This is a very good multi-rotor system, are very efficient, very good and useful for a small plot, for scientists to do a small plot, a small farm. But if you try to do a larger carriage, then you have to go to the fixed wing, and that's what we also try. And of course, this is the RMAX, Yamaha RMAX, that's been used for spray applications. Josh mentioned this morning. Dr. Giles is working on it. It is this particular system being used in Japan. 90% of inputs are applied in Japan using this system. So it's very, very commonly used there. It's very new for us. And then we get to the image processing. This is a typical image that we get. Previous speakers talked about it, that eventually we need to stitch this image. Joe referenced it. Joe radiometrically correct this. There are some software that can be used in the market. A couple of them, they can do this. Also, you can create a 3D image from a 2D image, you can create a 3D image, which makes it very attractive. It's like scouting without being in the field. And then we get to the issue of course, in our case, the disease, by the time we develop the algorithm, we develop the sensor, disease has spread so much that disease detection was not important in Florida. In fact, if you go and tell them that I have a best sensor that can detect it, greening, nobody is interested because disease is everywhere and everybody knows that they have a disease. But for us, being able to monitor the disease is very important because it can tell us about disease progression rate. So disease progression rate is an increase in disease over time, and it can depict it by a disease progression curve that shows interaction of pathogens vectors over time. And the shape of that it could be exponential. So if we can figure out the shape of this on a site-specific basis, the shape of this function, it can help us to evaluate the control strategy. So if I come up with a technique that can cure this, I can see how effective is that technique. Or I can also use it for predicting future level of disease. The way to do the quantifying disease progression rate, of course, we can do visual inspection, and that's the manual inspection. But we can also do it indirectly using some of indices like declining index or leaf area index, canopy density, growth rate, yield, and fruit quality. And these factors, most of them can be done by UAV. Another thing that I want to bring to attention is what I call the pest intensity map. And this is a work that was going on since 2000, and back then wireless sensor network was a very, very hot topic, so important thing. And one of the things that we could have done with this is creating a pest density map. So pest density map, it helps you to decide when is a good time to start a spraying and where is the right time or right location to start the spray application. And as I said, wireless sensor network could be used for this, but there are a company that are actually doing this right now. The problem is they are using GSM modem that is costly because you have to pay for the cost of this. So we start looking into using UAV, and we are doing some preliminary work in which we are trying to use a sticky trap. And you know, with the UAV, you can fly right on top of it or very close and get a very, very high resolution. And then from that, over time, you are able to create a pest density map using this technique. So this is something is we are working on it right now as we speak in our lab. So another issue is that, okay, so UAV, I mentioned before that UAV can be used for evaluating the effectiveness of disease control strategy. So one of the treatment that I'm using for HLB is heat treatment. So we basically we cover the canopy and we use hot steam to kill the bacteria. And it seems it's working. However, when we do this over a large area, so far I've done about 1,500 trees, we need to have a better way of evaluating the effectiveness of this technique. And for which I'm using UAV. So this is an example of one of our plots that we heat treated different trees with different time and temperature, just to figure out what's the right time and temperature. And the picture on top is a false red color that the circle around it shows different treatment. And then we are getting another image. From that, we calculated a vegetation index, the ratio of red to green, which showed very good correlation with the overall health of tree in our case. So this is an example of what you see in the aerial image and what you really see in the ground from this. So this could be a good, fast technique to evaluate the performance of this. And of course, this is another example. Nematodes in a strawberry, you know, methyl bromide is phasing out, and a lot of scientists, my colleagues, trying to figure out alternative, and they are testing different treatments, and I just use our UAV to fly one of their plots, and you start to see them those from the top. It's much easier the effectiveness of their treatment, and we can quantify it for them, and they can use it in their studies. So it's a very good tool for scientists to get additional data. Yield estimation. You know, UAV is a very, 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 for especially fruits and vegetable production, yield estimation is very critical, it's very important. And UAV can help us with that. This is a work that is going on in Chile. I work with the colleagues there. So they fly, another thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, a lot of countries, they don't have the restriction that we have. So they are in a way very ahead of us in terms of developing algorithm and coming up with new different techniques for use of UAV. So in this particular one, they overlaid a false color image over a Google map. From that, they calculated the NDVI, defining the zones of high, medium, and low. And then they used this map to define where to go and take their sample. So they already have a statistical software that they can use for field estimation. And what they did is that in the past, they used to go randomly select some trees and take the fruit sets on it and put it into the software to get the estimation for yield. Now with this technique, they can do a more smart way of deciding where to go and collect their sample point. And as a result of doing that, their estimation accuracy increased. So one more thing that I want to talk is about, another speaker also talked that UAV are not the silver bullet that we are looking for. It can do everything. It's a very good tool to detect general stress. And so we got this grant from USDA in which we are trying to use a combination of aerial and a ground robot. So in aerial imaging, the idea is that we use aerial robot to go and detect the trees that have a higher stress or the area that has a higher stress. And then we send a ground robot that can go to that point and then takes, because it can carry more sensors, you can try to detect it over there. If you can detect it, at least it has a manipulator that can pick up leaf sample and soil sample. So with this, I'd like to talk about. So U.S. is has many potential application agriculture and horticultural crops, but do not replace agronomic knowledge. So still, it's a good tool, but still we need to have somebody to interpret those results. They can definitely or certainly provide opportunities to improve profitability by providing timely information to the grove managers. And that's one of the important things. They need to be easy to operate and safe and affordable to be adopted. Other speakers talk about this. in order for growers to use this, it needs to be even more user-friendly. They have a lot of, I mean, progress on this. So when we started the first one 4 years ago, then the one that are available right now, they are a lot more reliable. But yet they, I think for the growers, they need to have a little bit more work on that. More research is needed to determine what sensor to use and how to analyze the data for a specific case. So, and this is true for everybody, is that the algorithm that we develop is very crop dependent and even area dependent, and it cannot be generalized. So it means that if you are looking for a disease in a different crop, you need to go through the research process, figure out what are the bands and how to analyze the data and so on. And rules and regulation are not clear, and the first speaker gave a very good talk on this, and still a lot of people are not sure if they can use it or not. As I said, I know a lot of people collecting data and using it, but again, it's very hard. It's very hard sell right now to when we cannot go and tell the growers how to use it. We had a project in Oregon on back in 2011, in which we were trying to do counting the pots in open field nursery, inventory management for open field nursery, and we developed an algorithm. But the thing is that when we told the growers that, you know, this is the algorithm, but really you cannot fly because it's it's illegal. So they were very disappointed about that. So this is true for a lot of growers as well. Also at the end, I'm very optimistic though, because I don't know if some of you may remember back then when we have GPS, we had something called selective availability that the government, they put an intentional error on the accuracy of GPS. And people are thinking that if they make GPS available to public, people start to use it for, you know, all bad things. And at the end, it turns out that it's not the case. In fact, the most widely used thing is the GPS in everybody's pocket right now is using GPS. Civilian use overpass the all military cases. I think this is the same scenario, that I think the amount of energy that I see engineering department and putting onto this and companies are putting into this, this is going to be a very rugged technique and probably very soon will be available for everybody to use.
Thank you, Reza, for this very interesting presentation. So we have time for a few questions. And then, may I ask you a question? You mentioned this example from Japan. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit more, like what specifically, how they're using the UAVs for pest control?
They are using it for spraying in paddy fields. So it's widely used for spraying paddy fields. And of course, this is the one that they are using is not completely autonomous. So actually an operator operates this and it has a control. So they have their own rules and regulation, and some of them may not make sense. One of them is that the operator should have a hard hat on it. So I was next to one of them demonstrating to us, and the operator has a hard hat I didn't have, and then said, "Do you want to try it?" I said, "Sure." And they said, "Here, put your hard hat on." And so it's funny, but it's true. Like anybody else, they have their own funny rules.